Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Jody E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, May 10th. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 19, the first full paragraph. Today's readers are Mary P. on the steps, Anya P. on the traditions, Julie E.B. will be the reader of the text, Wendy M. will read the closing, and Chanel T. is our backup reader today. Diane B. is our newcomer greeter, and Shelley E. will give announcements. The reference numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting, Thursday, May 9th, is 21,388. And this morning's 7 a.m. share ID number is 21,390. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA for those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thanks, Jody. This is Mary P. in Texas, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. from Texas. And I will now ask Tanya P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you. This is Tanya P., recovering in Michigan. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do serve, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Tanya P. from Michigan. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing on what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 19, paragraph 1. I will ask Julie E.B. to begin reading.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And our little passage, big passage for today. None of us make sole vocation of this work, nor do we think its effectiveness would be increased if we did. We feel the elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. A much more important demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. All of us spend much of our spare time in the sort of a few are fortunate enough to be so situated that they can give nearly all of their time. As I said, I'm Julie, recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And boy, if I had heard this paragraph, I mean, here I'm looking for a solution, and I was still in the food. Some of you know that 42 years old, I was dying. I was bedbound. I had 6 medical, including cardiologist, pulmonologist, neurologist, you name it. I was dying in this disease. And I would have loved to have any beginning whatsoever. So I thought, what do you mean I'm suffering in this disease? And if that's you, I hope that today you will call someone like myself whose sole vocation is to help who are suffering. Why? Not because I have to, but because someone answered the phone when I called. When I saw people from this line over 7 years ago, someone answered the phone. Someone answered the phone when I had new layers of trying to unpack and unload how to practice this in my home, how to practice this at work, how to practice this just in building any kind of self-esteem. You know, if my kids moved away as I tried to get connection, you know, with my husband and new phase of life, when a year ago this week, one of my children shared their addiction with me, I just went back to the beginning. But thank God in this program, the word beginning's there over and over again. I'm always beginning. If you define yourself as a chronic relapser or hopeless person, then you are exactly at the beginning, cornered at last. And so this program has been hard for me to practice, but I can tell you that one of my kids is, you know, 8 months clean and sober. Why? Not because I went on another diet, but because he saw me change as God returned. I found a higher power that was gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And I have to begin at that beginning almost every minute of every day and try to reflect in some tiny bit being gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And so he said, yeah, I'm going to try this program, not because I went on a diet, but because I found some emotional sobriety and trustworthiness. And I still try to live out of that ideal every day. And so this is not my sole occupation. You can hear I'm out walking now, but I get through my day. I carry a couple sponsees. We are actively working the program. I have a full-time job. I have a family, and I have a 10-step partner, 11-step partner, and love the outreach line. And so I weave this into my days. It's not my sole occupation, but it is my lifeline. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Moderator,
Jody, we don't hear you.
Thank you for letting me know. I was reading this. Although we value your experience, and thank you, Julie EB from Colorado, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. Who would like to share?
Wendy M.
Laura W. from New Jersey.
Roz G. Okay, we'll start with those three. Wendy M., Laura W., and Roz G. Please go ahead, Wendy.
Thank you, Jody. Appreciate your service so much. And Julie E.B. Wendy M., Boulder, Colorado, currently in Boston. Oh, Lord, the stakes just got higher. Okay, it's not enough that we eliminate our compulsive overeating, right? Okay, that's good, they say. A much more important demonstration of our principles lies in our homes, occupations, affairs. Oh, Lord. Really, God? God's like, yeah, I want you to get completely free, not just partially free. Partially free is that I'm abstinent from my alcoholic foods. But really free is how I treat people. Somebody said to me, what is this OA program you've got? I said, it's a program of how I treat people, you know, and that's the deal. That's what they're saying here, you know, and I'm currently, check this out, I'm with my 19-year-old son, my ex-husband, my ex-husband's ex-wife, there's more, my ex-husband's current girlfriend, and all their kids. And I'm smiling because last night, I was building up a resentment towards my ex-husband right in front of my child. And I noticed that I wanted to trash my husband. But I have a program that says something feels funky and you're not going to say what you want to say. You're not going to do that because you have principles now. You have a way to treat another human being. And I said to my son, you know what? I feel like I'm trying to trash Dad. I'm trying to look like the better parent. I am so sorry that I did that. I mean, instantly, this program instantly works us and tells us how to treat another person. Even if I want to take that bite, that blaming bite, right? That comparison bite for 8 seconds, it feels really good. And then not so good, not so good at all. And that's what this, we get to course correct all the time. And my ex-husband's girlfriend has, you know, three-stage cancer. I'm going to spend the day with her. I'm just going to be there and listen to her and hold her hand. I mean, that's the miracle of this program, you know. And instead of trashing my husband, why not have some compassion for him that he's dating somebody with stage 3 cancer? And my kid's 19 years old. Of course, his clothes are strewn everywhere and he never showers. Like, the program, that's what the program gives me, is the opportunity to go, how can I treat these people better? And how can I make it not about Wendy? And, you know, all I care about is I'm without food today, right? Like, I'm not eating my food. That's amazing. There was whole milk for the coffee. I don't drink whole milk. You know, you just make these tiny decisions. And then I get to call 3 people and see how they're doing today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. from Arizona. And our second share will come from Laura W. from New Jersey. Go ahead, Laura.
Thanks, Jody. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. You know, we feel that the elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. It is a beginning. It's putting down the food, putting down the substance, putting down the behaviors. That's just the first step for me, but it's a necessary beginning. I can't recover unless I'm abstinent. I can't get recovered by, you know, my experiences. I can't, like, try to work the steps and then get abstinent. I need to get abstinent first and then work the steps in order to be honest about these steps. But a much more important demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. So my experience after many years in program is that if I'm jumping up from the dinner table to grab a phone call from a sponsee, or if I am saying to my family, no, I can't, I need to get on a meeting. I can't be with you right now. And that's not recovery for me. I need to find the balance. And I do my meetings when my kids are not around. I do my meetings when my husband's not around. But this program, It is who I am, but it enhances my life as I do it. So, you know, it's just what I do throughout the day, but it doesn't inconvenience other people. And if it were to inconvenience other people, then I don't think for me, I'm doing it right. This program is about new relationships with old people. So if I'm still behaving selfishly and, you know, feeling like, oh, I can't go to dinner with you because I don't like that restaurant. And, you know, maybe I can't find what I need. Well, I bring what I need, you know, like I really try to just live my life and let the program enhance it and let those steps enhance it and let God enhance it and let me do what I do each day, put money in the bank with my meetings and my Dear God letters and my connection with God. And nobody makes a sole vocation of this work, but there are some that, you know, who are fortunate enough that they can give nearly all their time to the work. So maybe if I lived alone and I wasn't married and I didn't have a dog and kids and a job, maybe I could and would, and that would be a beautiful thing and I'd be really grateful. But for me, that balance is something that God needs me to do each day. So, you know, I need to ask, is it working for me? Is it inconveniencing other people? No, it's not, because God's given me the ability to, you know, make the time. There's so much more time in my day now, which is unbelievable, now that I'm not, you know, over-exercising and sneaking food and then purging through exercise and, you know, starving myself. So I'm just super grateful for the writers of this book that reminds us that there's life, you know, there's, we are abstinent, we work the steps, and then we live our lives. So, so grateful for all of you here today. Have a great weekend. I pass.
Thank you so much, Laura W. from South Jersey. Roz G., please go ahead.
Good morning, Jody, and thank you for your service. I'm Roz G., recovered compulsive overeater from Palmdale, California. And 20 years ago, I had a sponsor who was able to make this program her avocation. And she spent most of her life working it. And she liked to do commercials. And she told me 20 years ago, when I was a single mother with three kids, living in American-style poverty in an alcoholic marriage, she said to me that she skipped an audition because we had a step appointment. And I could not understand that. I was blown away that she would skip a commercial audition to spend time with me and my kids so that, you know, the kids could go watch a video while I did step work. She set an example of me to show me that this was a way of life for her. And, yeah, she went on to do other things. I'm not trying to play the martyr game and say she didn't do anything. She went on to do her thing. But she set an example and a precedent that this program is a way of life. And as for me, I bring the principles of the program, I try to, in everything that I do. As I've heard, it is a way about how I treat people and my relationships. My daughter is 33 years old now, and I treat her like an adult. And sometimes I see things on media that I really wouldn't do, but I don't say anything to her because it's her life. And my son and my other daughter are trying to figure their lives out, and I just sit back and watch and practice the principles and do 10 steps when something annoys me. And another, you know, way of life for me is weighing and measuring my food. And that, you know, if the scale isn't on my kitchen counter, something's wrong. It's just become a way of life. It's not a diet. It's just a way for me to gauge the amount of food that I'm eating. Because when I don't do that, my pants start to get tight. And, you know, it's humility. It's a way, it's humility. It's like saying, I don't know everything. I need to check with God about how I, you know, what the steps say about how I treat people, or an unemotionally involved person on the other end of the phone to say, maybe you need an attitude adjustment. I don't really like to hear those words, but they have really helped me to grow up, to be respected as a person, respected as someone in my job, where yesterday I was asked to help somebody, a newcomer, out at my work.
Time.
I was okay, and I don't know what else to say. Just the time's up. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. from Southern California. Who else would like to share on this paragraph? We're on page 19. It's the first full paragraph that begins with, "None of us makes a sole vocation of this work." Who else would like to share?
Michelle F.
Michelle F as in Frank?
Yes.
Okay. And who else? Ginger M. Ginger M. How about one more?
Donna B.
Donna B. Okay, great. Michelle F., Ginger M., and Donna B., please let us know where you're calling from. Go ahead, Michelle.
Hi, and thank you for your service. It's Michelle F. From Central Massachusetts. And I haven't shared in a while, so I wanna step in here. When it says, making a demonstration in our home, homes and with our families and everything? Absolutely. And I think I want to add another dimension to this, and that we, you know, well, at least I did, got very excited when I was doing this program about everybody needed 12-step, right? And trying to push this on other people drives people away, and they don't want what you're selling, you know? And my husband finally got fed up when we were having a disagreement and said, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing your cult program thing. And it was, you know, he was hurt and he was angry, but it was like, whoa, okay, I need to shut up. It can be hard, but this is a program of attraction, not promotion. So even though we think someone would really benefit, unless they want our help, we need to keep quiet. And this is also a humbling reminder that, yeah, I still have to try my best every day. And that includes taking care of people, my home, my pets, myself, not just staying abstinent, not just doing my step work. And it all works together. And my best is good enough. My best is good enough. I used to get very upset and beat myself up about this when I heard this part, like, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not doing enough. Your best is enough. That's all I really had to add. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle F. from Massachusetts. Ginger M., please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for your service, everyone. So I'm amazed and elated that this meeting today is not only focusing on food or compulsive eating, but on applying the 12-step principles to each and every aspect of our lives. And I gained so much from the shares that I've heard. Today, I got up at 9 a.m. Because I was trying to have breakfast when it's still technically morning, and realized that would have to be before the meeting, because otherwise it's back to 11 a.m. and then it puts me behind. And there wasn't anything emotional about it. I wasn't thrilled about it. I was still tired, but I did put one foot in front of the other, and I did what I needed to do, which was to get up earlier, to get up at 9 a.m. and have breakfast and then come to the meeting. And I feel very good about that. I'm grateful. I'm happy with myself. I'm proud of myself that I did that. I'm grateful to higher power for helping me put my priorities straight. And I feel really happy on this meeting. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger M. from New York. Donna B., please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Donna B. My first name is spelled D-A-N-A. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, binge purge bulimic, and exercise bulimic. The sentence that begins, "We feel that elimination of our drinking is but a beginning," I have highlighted in pink as a warning. And as I think about the Big Book in general and the study of the Big Book, there are so many times in which Bill and the first 100 emphasize how many of the things that we do are just a beginning. I'm thinking of the sentence that says, it's easy to let up on our spiritual program of recovery. It's easy to make a beginning, and in my experience, requires a lot more effort and intention and stamina and persistence and faith and devotion to go beyond that beginning. For me, the demonstration of these principles in my home, my work, and my affairs is not always easy. My most challenging relationships are in my family of origin, my family through marriage, and also the family of creation that I am a part of. I want to demonstrate these principles and those relationships because I want to experience authentic connection. I want to sincerely love other people and allow for them to have the experience of being loved. And I guess it's cliche, you know, love languages, but I know what it feels like to be loved by someone who can only love me in the way they can give love. And it was deeply unsatisfying. So as I seek to do God's will in my life and in all my affairs, I really inquire about how I can show up in other people's lives in a way that's meaningful to them and not just convenient for me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. from Colorado. Although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. We are on page 19, the first full paragraph. Who else would like to share?
Jennifer H.
Jennifer H. And who else? Okay, we'll go with Jennifer. Jennifer H., please go ahead and let us know where you're calling from, if you would.
Hey, this is Jennifer H., recovered compulsive overeater in North Alabama. And I'm grateful to you guys for being there and for y'all's service today. I'm really grateful for the paragraphs that helped me know how to, you know, practice the principles in all of my affairs and, you know, and I appreciate what you guys have shared about I don't need to shove it down my family members' throats. And also when they express their viewpoints, I can just, you know, just kind of retain, because I'm really grateful for the person that reminded me sometimes people are teenagers and they're just whatever they are at the moment. And I don't need to, you know, become irritated, not open to my spiritual way of life, but I can still have it in my mind and know the way that I'm choosing to go through things. I don't have to state it out loud to, you know, to just practice it. My first sponsor told me that, you know, you get to be a walking example of the big book, and it may be the only one that they see, and just kind of being that way is going to be more powerful than reacting and arguing. So that's something I'm really asking God to remove whenever it would be of use to him to have that removed. So I don't, my first impulse isn't to react and argue, you know, and instead to just let people be where they are and just offer understanding and encouragement to the ones who are still sick, and instead of getting upset about it. And that's probably the biggest thing that I have to ask my higher power for help with today in dealing with others, is remembering to keep the balance, and then trying to make that demonstration in my home, you know, especially when people have whatever ism it is, even if it's teenagerism or whatever it is, and remember that I'm grateful because there I had no capacity to do any of this before. And now there's at least some ability to show up, tell the truth, and just, you know, most of the time ask God to sit on my tongue. So I'm grateful to you guys for being there, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Jennifer H. from North Alabama. Who else would like to share on this paragraph? None of us
Bruce
know
E.
of this work. Bruce E., gotcha. Anyone else?
Diane M.C. in Chicago.
Say your name again, please.
Diane M.C.
Diane M.C., gotcha.
Rina,
who's that?
Rina, R-I-N-A, in New Jersey.
Rina in New Jersey. Okay, let's go with those three. Bruce, E, Diane, M.C., and Rina. Go ahead, Bruce.
Okay, sorry to kind of jump in on you there. I'm Bruce E. I'm recovered. I'm in Fort Myers, Florida, and very grateful to be on this line today, and very grateful for the reading, the opening share, and all the other shares after that. It's been really, really good. Yeah, well, you know, I thought times that, so we feel that elimination of this drinking is but a beginning. So, yeah, the whole start of it was I had to put the food down. That's what my first sponsor asked me 5 years ago when I came in the program. He said, how long are you abstinent? I said, about a week. He said, okay. And then he said, okay. I talked to him at 10 in the morning. He said, call me back at noon. Have your big book ready. Starting with the doctor's opinion. We're going through these steps. We're going to fire through them. And I did that. And I got recovered. And so that was the beginning of it. You know, that was the beginning. So then, you know, what happens after that? Well, I spend quite a bit of my spare time on this effort. I really do. I really, you know, I work at this. And so the few are fortunate enough to be so situated that they can give nearly all the time to this work. I think some people do. I can't give all my time to this work. I've got four daughters, a wife, and I'm very actively involved in trying to rebuild our home after the hurricane. I hope we're going to be back in 3 weeks. So, you know, I got other stuff going. I'd like to be doing this full time. But I was just thinking, if all of us did this full time, right, 40, 50 hours a week, we'd be crawling all over each other, you know. And so, you know, it'd be way too much. But I just want to say that, you know, I got a daughter out in Denver, I got a daughter in Denver, but I got a daughter in Phoenix, too, and then one in San Francisco, one here. But the one in Phoenix has put on a lot of weight in the last 4 or 5 years, and quite a bit. But I don't have to go after her, you know, about that. I don't have to say, I don't say anything about it. And no matter how she eats, I don't say anything when I visit her, you know. She buys candy bars, stuff like that, and eats them. And I don't say anything about it because I told her, you know, what, 5, 6 years ago, I told her I was in OA, you know, and I wasn't telling her because I was trying to recruit her. I just told her because I was telling her my story. I was telling her the history of myself. And I told her I, you know, got it to the point where I couldn't stop eating. And I got into Overeaters Anonymous, and it helped me a lot. And so she knows that. So I don't have to push that on her or anything. And I got a daughter here in this area, and she knows that I'm in 12 steps. I think she knows it's OA, and yeah, thank you. And as the others do, you know, so, and my wife does, you know, she knows I'm in this program. So thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. from Florida. Diane M.C., please let us know where you're calling from. Diane, press star 1.
Oh, this is Diane M.C. from Chicago. And I'll respond to, we feel that elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. So the biggest blockage for me has been the food between my relationship with God. And now, excuse me, that I've got a daily reprieve there for many days, now it's time to work on those character defects. Now that the food is down, and that's where, you know, the 10th step comes in, doing being committed every day, 10th step with someone, taking short inventories during the day. But that's my challenge right now. Those little blockages that interfere with my relationship with God. And this week, the focus has been on the use of my word of encouragement. And I think I'm encouraging. And it's not a bad word, but I'm guilty of taking it to the extreme, using it as a form of manipulation. When I'm encouraging someone, especially a young adult child, my place, especially with my young adults, are my place is really on my knees instead of using my mouth so much. You know, it's necessary when they were younger, and training them up to be civil adults. Those days are over. And I've just really been convicted this week of how manipulative I can be. And it interferes with my relationship with God, too, because I'm playing God or I'm helping him by forever giving advice or criticizing. So that's you know, new growth for me, that I've got to put aside that kind of behavior. And show more love and tolerance. That's our code. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane MC from Illinois. Rena in New Jersey, please share with us. Rena, press star one.
Can I be heard now?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much for your service. I love this paragraph because it shows a lot of hope. It shows that the only thing I'm going to have much more available to me than simply the elimination of overeating, undereating, binging, or whatever else. It's but a beginning. That means a beginning to a new life. When I'm at home with my husband's cookies or visiting relatives and whatever they're eating, that's none of my business. I need to stick to the principles I learned here in OA. In my occupation, the way that shows up is when I go to an event, networking event, or any place else, even one-on-one, the focus is not the food or, you know, whatever might be served there. It's really on the relationship and learning how to have a relationship with people, how to talk to people, how to feel my feelings. And the other part of this paragraph that I like is that I don't need to give all my time to this work. I don't need to give all my time as a sponsor, and I don't need to give all my time as a sponsee either, because the program is not a way for me to hide away from life. It is a place for me to have basically spiritual rehabilitation, and then to be able to go back out there and be a productive member of my family, in my friendships, in the workspace, and really anything else that comes up in my life. So I'm really glad for this reminder today. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Rena in New Jersey. We have time for another share. Who else would like to share?
Alex K.
Alex K. Go ahead, Alex.
Thank you, Jody. Thank you, everyone. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, recovered just for today. Oh, gosh, such a good reading. I remember early in program, I thought the goal was abstinence, and that as long as I was abstinent, everything was fine. I didn't understand about working the steps and defects and since I didn't work the steps, I didn't change, and so I relapsed over and over. But I know now that abstinence is important, it's essential, but abstinence alone is not the solution. The solution is in my higher power that changed my thinking. My thinking needs to change for me to recover. And the amazing transformation I'm undergoing shows not only in my eating. The food obsession and compulsion have been removed, and I don't see food as a solution, but also in my attitudes and my behavior and how I live my life, how I treat myself and others, how I practice the principles like honesty, willingness, faith, love, service. Those are becoming more and more part of my life, natural and automatic, just what I do without having to think about it. And that's a result of the steps in my higher power. My thinking really is changing. It's amazing. It's a miracle. My life and all my relationships are so much better. And it's an ongoing journey of growth and healing, and gets better and better. Yes, abstinence is a wonderful gift, but there's so much more, and I'm so grateful. Thanks, everyone. Pass.
Thank you, Alex. Kay from California. We have time for a two-minute share. Would someone like a two-minute share? This is Ernestine. Okay, go ahead, Ernestine.
Okay, my name is Ernestine. I'm a compulsive eater, and I have just absolutely loved all the shares this morning. They're just so wonderful. the beginning is, for me, is that abstinence, and I'm getting it back today, this last 3-4 weeks. And one of the things that I say on most days is, God, please help me stay in recovery. I want the recovery. That one of my questions was about that mental conviction turning into some kind of an action has taken me a long, long time. And I think one of the things that I read yesterday said something that for some of us, it will take a long, long time. I don't know that I like that the daily reprieve, you know, that I get. And I am so grateful for my abstinence today and making those calls. I was on the pity pot a couple of weeks ago, and I thought about someone who was having health problems, and I called her. And of course, I was lifted off the pity pot. So I am so, so grateful. Thank you, God, for keeping me in recovery today. And thank you, all of you, for your shares and for your service. Pass.
Thank you, Ernestine. Where are you from, Ernestine? And what's the initial of your last name?
Sorry. You know, muting and unmuting after 4 years is still hard. I'm from Claremont, California.
And your initial?
K.
K. Ernestine K. from California. Thank you so much. We will now close, excuse me, with our reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Wendy M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you, Jody. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.